When was the last time you binge watched something? And are the days of binge watching over? Raven, producer Sophia, producer Justin. Raven, last time you binge watched something?
Oh, gosh. All the stuff that I'm watching right now is episodic, so they're only putting it out once a week. I'd like to binge watch it, but I'm unavailable to House of a Dragon. But you know what I do? Is I just miss a couple weeks, and then there I am, and I can run through them. So I'm watching Dutton Ranch right now. That's pretty much binge watching.
Spoiler alert, that's happening for a reason. Okay, Sophia, last time you binge watched something?
I'm a binge watcher. I just finished Off Campus like 2 weeks ago, and I watched it in like 3 days.
Was it good? My friends and I keep texting me about it. Now it's over because they all watched it.
Yeah.
They said like it's like a terrible Hallmark movie that you can't stop watching.
Exactly. It's cheesy, but I couldn't stop.
Oh, and what's up with the girl with the helmet on the bike?
I can't believe you've seen that.
I didn't. I saw like one meme and then my friends talked about it for like 13 pages and I haven't watched it yet.
She's just always on her bike and her helmet is abnormally large.
Okay, good.
Well,
got it.
You should be wearing a helmet if you're bike riding.
Right. Yeah.
Safety first.
Justin, last thing you binge watched?
Very recently. Amazon is dropping the new season of Reacher coming out in a few weeks. So I caught up with the last season again. I rewatched it about a week and a half ago.
I have never in my life binge watched anything. I don't have the tolerance for it. I think it's ridiculous to sit there for that many hours and go through it. I like when like Hulu does Only Murders in the Building, which I love, that they drop a new episode every week. Mm-hmm. I look forward to Tuesdays when they're doing that because it gives me something to look forward to every week.
Right.
And now they're saying we would talk about this on the air. People would say I was nuts. But they're saying the prime of binge watching was 2013 when it first came out. And people were so shocked that they had the option to do this. But what Amazon and Netflix have found is that viewership is dropping off and people aren't going back. And the reason why is because it feels like homework and they don't want to do it like that anymore. And they want to go back to the episodic ways.
I just want to point out the fact that that's about their control then and not necessarily about what people actually want or how we'd like to digest our media. It's savvy for business models. At the same time, you might be like, you know what? I'm not going to wait this out. And subscriptions might go down.
But, you know, it's funny because I wonder if it's a psychological thing because, like I was saying, Only Murders in the Building, I would never miss an episode. And if it was Tuesday night and I didn't have time, it was too late and I had to wait till the next day, it would be on my mind to watch it. But there's plenty of other shows that have had full seasons that are out and I watch a couple episodes and I like it and then I never go back to it.
Yeah.
Because it's just sitting there waiting. And to me, there's no urgency to get to it. Mm. It's weird. It's a weird psychological thing these streaming services have done to us.
Yeah.
So what's next? Expiration dates?
That, I think, would be the smartest thing to do. Like, whenever I see Netflix say a movie is gone, like in 3 days.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I like, yell to my kids, like, we got to watch it before it's gone.
If you make it that difficult for me to enjoy it the way I want to, whereas they're delaying its release and then they're expiring episodes after, I think I give up that service altogether. I do.
And I have to binge things too, because I'll binge something on one platform and then I'll find something else that I'm interested in, but then I'll forget which platform it was on and what days it gets dropped. And then and then I'll find myself completely confused and I'll forget that I was watching something. And I'll come back 2 weeks later and it's either expiring or gone or I don't remember what's happening.
So the solution here is nothing we don't know. That's what it's come down to.
Right.
There's a lot of TV out there for us to digest currently.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories that are trending right now, but you only get to hear about one, and Raven picks which one it is.
You know what? That means people should be nice. They want to hear their favorite stories. I'm the guy with the power.
All right, so here are today's options. Number one, Bigfoot hunter claims he unearthed scientific proof of Sasquatch. Number two, a woman bit another woman's leg like it was fried chicken.
If you're rolling around and there's a fight or something like that, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time.
Vandals use fireworks to destroy at least 13 portable toilets.
But that's not nice. I mean, seriously, that's just destructive there. I don't subscribe to that. I gotta go Bigfoot.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, let's take ourselves to the woods. Thank you.
You know, I feel like we've been hearing about this nonstop for our entire lives. Is Bigfoot real? Is he not real?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when Neanderthal falls in love with Asian Neanderthal and they marry a human being?
What?
They have Bigfoot.
After doing a DNA test at Cornell Veterinary and Bio-DNA Lab, we found that this is 58.5% Neanderthal / Denisovan, which is European Neanderthal mixing with Asian Neanderthal. And then this 41.5% remaining, that is human.
Wait a minute. So Neanderthals not known to be like 8 feet tall, though, as far as I knew, right? Isn't Bigfoot supposed to be really big?
What is supposed to be like hairy?
I mean, I think a Neanderthal could be hairy, but I don't think of them as that large. I thought of them as wider.
Neanderthal was an extinct species of ancient humans that lived in Europe and parts of Western Asia 400,000 years ago.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, but
again,
what did they look like? They were shorter and stockier.
That's what I'm saying. Shorter and stockier.
Very
right?
muscular and strong. Had large noses, heavy brow ridges, and broad chest, and then adapted to cold ice age climates.
Yeah, okay, all right. So their feet were large, and their teeth were large, and all that, and they were wide, and they were stocky. But, you know, again, I think a Bigfoot is being like, you know, 7-8 feet tall.
But that's the human part of them. So the Neanderthal...
So it when a Neanderthal hooked up with an NBA player?
Correct.
Yeah.
A Neanderthal fell in love with a human, and they had a baby, and then the baby was Bigfoot, and they've been just breeding, and somehow as they continue to breed,
Yeah, forgive me. I mean, I think of the Asian Neanderthal also as smaller than the European Neanderthal. You know what? I don't know about it.
I don't.
What's Cornell have to say? Never heard of him.
No,
Cornell's like, never heard of him. Never did this test. Don't know what he's talking about.
This
awesome.
Is a New York man. He calls himself Snake the Bigfoot Hunter.
Well, of course he would.
And, you know, I was saying, listen. He's got the DNA here. He's saying this is the DNA that we have been finally waiting for to prove that Sasquatch is real and he's part human.
I mean, I feel like if it was really that real, there would be a press conference. Like, you know what I mean? Not held in Snake's podcast area. That's, you know, also at his parents' house. That's I feel like there'd be more scientists involved in this, right?
Do you think it's real?
Do I think that Bigfoot is real?
Yep.
I think that there's a very real chance that there was something at some point, somewhere, that was not easily explained. That's what I think. I don't think Bigfoot's real. I don't. It makes me sad.
For somebody that believes in aliens, it surprises me.
Yeah, no, it's...
I want to go on record. Bigfoot's out there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find him.
All right. Yeah. You're going to find him.
I'm going to hold a speed dating event and invite all... Neanderthals. And I'm going to see who
not
shows
sure that
up.
That's going to be the net that you cast that comes up with a result. But I guess it's one way to attack the problem.
When Bigfoot walks in that bar, I'm going to be like, we did it. We found him. Here he is.
Got him. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Snake.
You ever get an email from someone that you've never met before? Or somebody says to you, oh, so-and-so will be joining us. And you have a judgment already based on their first name, even though you don't know anything about that person. I received an email, two of them, in the last week. One was referencing a woman named Ursula. Mm. It was like, Ursula is going to be joining us on Saturday for the event that we were hosting. And I stopped and I was like...
Sea monster.
I was like, oh, she's probably evil.
Yep.
And I was like, who names their baby Ursula?
Yeah.
And then I felt bad because she was wonderful.
Right.
I'm so sorry, Ursula. You like you're
some sort of traditional name.
Kindest
probably
woman.
Family name.
She was not an octopus or whatever Ursula is. She was not evil. She did not try to steal my voice. None of those things happened.
Right.
And I felt so ashamed because I was like, my whole week, I was thinking about Ursula. What's Ursula going to be like? Ursula.
Yeah.
And then I just received an email earlier this morning referencing a man named Barney.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, Barney, he'll be here on Thursday. And I was like, one, who's Barney? And two, why are we trusting anybody named Barney?
I just think of like he's going to be short and like big feet and whatnot. I mean, there's no reason whatsoever for me to assume that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I went to college with a guy named Barney and he fit the stereotype, which doesn't help matter.
Short, big feet.
He was, you know, he was like kind of roundish and like, you know.
Oh, that's the way that you're describing people now.
But you know,
that's very flattering. Thank you.
When they like go through,
I hope he's not listening. Wow.
And I think to myself, I don't even know what that means. What words am I saying?
I think you do know what it means, though. You know, you're kind of like a simpleton or whatever. Poor Barney. Sure, he's just a lovely fellow.
And are we going to trust Barney with marketing? Doesn't seem like a good idea.
And Barney's not going to be in charge of anything except maybe loading the vehicle for a road trip.
I don't know. It's funny how some people have names that you immediately judge them, even though you don't know anything about them.
Yeah. When I hear like the name Arthur, I think that they're automatically English and have great manners and they've like been trained for fencing or something like that.
That's how I feel
about
Harry.
I don't know if that's accurate.
I always think Harry is handsome in English.
I feel like Harry's just he's the wild one.
What's like a stereotype, a judgment you make on somebody based on their first name? 1-800-330-9999. Tyler.
I'm probably not alone on this, but the name Chad, it is just, I mean, there's such a historical connotation of either being like a baller or being like a bro or being like a jerk.
I say Chad to you, Anna. What do you immediately picture?
Somebody that looks like Ken, like Barbie and
yes.
Ken.
Yes. Right? With like a sweater or a cardigan or something like that on a trust fund. That sweater might be salmon or pink colored.
Yeah. His hair is coiffed.
Yes.
You know, you hear that word coiffed.
That's right.
You don't even really know what that means, but you yeah. know that that's what their hair looks like.
If he's going out to the island or something like that, he doesn't take the ferry. He takes a helicopter.
That's nice.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know any real Chads in real life.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
I'd like to be friends with one, you know, remain in his wake of destruction behind that, but, you know, enjoy the things like the helicopter ride and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
If I go to Facebook and I just put Chad, let me see if anybody comes up. Do I know that a single experiment. Chad?
Do you know a Chad?
Oh, I have two Chad friends.
How do they look?
Chad Erickson. Let me see mm-hmm. what he looks like.
Putting out full names.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who these people are. They're fake friends. You know, you have like a million people you don't really know.
Yeah. How's he look?
Not like you would think a Chad
no?
looks.
Chad.
He looks like a normal dude.
All right. What about the other Chad?
Let me see the other Chad.
Yeah.
Hold on. Chad. Mm-hmm. Chad Taylor.
Yeah. Chad Taylor. Definitely sounds like he's got a Bentley or something.
He's got a coif hair.
All right.
His hair is coif.
You know, I mean, that's 50-50. That's pretty good science right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like a Chad. Maybe we can help people that are trying to name their babies right now. Mm. What's the first name that when you hear it, you have an immediate judgment on it? 1-800-330-9999. You ever hear somebody's first name and you immediately judge them even though you know nothing about them?
Yeah, you know, that could be on past experiences or like, you know, a popular stereotype that's out there.
I had to work with a woman named Ursula this past weekend. I had never met her before. I immediately thought she was going to try to steal my voice and was evil.
Before you got there,
yeah,
right? 100%. You had all those assumptions.
She was a lovely person, and I had no idea that Ursula was even a real name you could have.
I'll just have to take your word for it.
What's a name that whenever you hear it, you immediately judge that person based solely on their name? 1-800-330-9999. Christina.
So this is kind of personal, but it's going to have to be Leanne. Anytime I hear Leanne, I immediately do not trust them because when I was a kid, there were two girls in my school named Leanne, and they were always liars. They always lied about things. They were in different grades, and they always would just spin some yarn about something. So now, if I meet someone at work and their name is Leanne, I am immediately not trusting of them.
Right. I thought it was going to be Leanne Rimes and Eddie Cibrian.
Yeah.
Right? Like they were both married or whatever, and then they met, and then they cheated, and then like, you know, but they've been together like 20 years now, so we're supposed to forgive them, I guess.
Your significant other's ex, their name always sticks with you.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you said Leanne, and I immediately thought like, oh, that's your husband's ex-girlfriend. But it turns out they were liars from when you were 7.
Right.
Yeah.
Held on to that, though. Long time.
Yep.
Long time.
Kevin, what first name gives you the ick?
I've been told this is a weird one, but Hunter? I get that names should reflect occupations in the past, but kids name Hunter in the city? You're not. What are you hunting?
My nephew is Hunter, so I take offense to this. But I do remember when my sister-in-law told me that they were naming the baby that, you know, many years ago. He's 16 now. It took me by surprise.
I get what you're saying. Like back in the day, there was like, yeah, Blackstone or like, you know, something like that. Like their name was something that they did. Shoemaker.
No but, one's name was Shoemaker. I don't know.
I mean, back in the
shoemaker.
Day there was. There was a shoemaker back in the day.
No, there's no person named Shoemaker back in the day.
Oh, yeah, there was a person named Shoemaker. If
no,
your name
wasn't.
Is Shoemaker, call right now. 800-330-9999.
Oh, you're going to be shocked. The Lions are not lighting up, Raven.
I'm pretty sure I know a Shoemaker, all right? And that person is just a shoemaker with a different pronunciation.
All right.
That's all.
Lily, what's the name that you immediately judge somebody when you hear it?
Okay. And I know it's not just me, but whenever I hear the name Karen, oh my gosh, she is judged. It's not just a white woman. It's any woman that is acting entitled, demanding, overly controlling, and quick to ask for management.
I despise the fact that Karen's name has this has happened to
it's
her.
It's disparaged.
I
Goodbye,
just,
Karen.
I feel terrible because I know so many wonderful Karens.
Do you know so many? I mean, you know, you might know a couple.
Three or four.
If you name six, I would be amazed if you knew
six.
If
I go to my Facebook page, let me see.
No. If you got to go to your Facebook page, that's not the same thing as having six people that you got on your mind immediately.
My old cheerleading coach was Karen.
That's one.
She was lovely.
She was nice.
Karen Thomas, the etiquette expert that comes on our show
also
all the
a very
time.
Nice person.
A woman that I used to work out with.
A woman
Karen
you
Plano.
Used to work out with. What's her last name?
Plano. She was
nice.
Very nice.
Okay, that's three. Yeah,
and listens to the show often.
All right, you're hitting your keyboard now. You're Googling the rest of these.
No, there's many other Karens that are lovely ladies.
You know what? Have you met one that wasn't so nice? Because I have.
I haven't. I they've all been great to me. I don't understand what the problem is.
Okay, well, I'm just saying.
That's the crazy part. I've never met a horrible Karen either.
You've never met
They're
a horrible
all really
Karen.
Nice.
All right. Well, yeah. You know, here we are.
See?
Sometimes the name just takes a turn on somebody.
Yep.
What can
right.
you do?
What's a first name that even if you don't know the person, you immediately judge them? I met a woman named Ursula, and I thought she was going to steal my voice. Turned out she was a lovely woman.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there was a time where people were named after things that they used to do back in the day. And Shoemaker is a real name.
That's not a real name, Raven.
Hi, Raven. It's Robin, and I used to be Robin Shoemaker.
Robin Shoemaker. Thank you very much.
That was her
ancestral lands. Her family was Shoemakers.
No. My ex-husband's name.
Oh, your ex-husband?
My ex-husband's name.
Okay, but did they have pictures of cobblers in his home?
And now I'm Robin Hood.
Well, congratulations, Robin Hood. That is a cool name.
I'd rather have Robin Hood and Shoemaker.
Well, I mean, of course.
Yes.
But I feel like both lived in the same time period, medieval times.
Okay.
Robin Shoemaker and Robin Hood, they both lived in the same times.
Okay.
You know? You walked this earth long ago. Thank you for sharing, Robin.
And it was spelled Shoemaker.
That's a shoemaker right there. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. '20, '26 Emmy nominations are out. The Pitt and Hax lead the pack with 25 and 24 nominations each. But as if Taylor Swift wasn't having a big enough week.
This week, Taylor woke up an Emmy nominee. The Eras Tour concert film getting 5 nominations.
That was cool. That was unsurprising. I didn't see that coming.
She just really needs a large bookcase. Like a lot of shelves, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're a contractor that works for Taylor Swift, you're going to be putting up a lot of shelves.
I don't
the
know
span of your lifetime.
I don't know if we're allowed to tell this story, but in radio, people get unique incidences that they get to do.
We can tell the story. We didn't sign anything. Go ahead, tell the story.
So somebody we know very well that we work with got to go to Taylor's house and got
recently.
And hang out with her and listen to her new music and all that. That was the music for Toy Story 5. And when they were taking pictures, because they brought them in the room one by one to take pictures with her.
It's a very cool part of the story. Like, she just understands that obviously everybody wants a photo and you want a moment. And she's one of these people that spends a moment with you. And what did she do?
She offered him her
Grammys.
Yeah, her Grammys. So there's pictures of this guy holding her Grammys while she's standing next to him. And I said, I would have died. I would have died for that moment right there.
I mean, the pictures have been printed. I think we can say it now. It's on display in his office. It's our boss.
Yeah, I know.
And so
cool.
He got to go. And him and the owner of our company, they all told us after that Taylor Swift is their best friend now.
It's true.
That she was very unique and one of those people that when you're talking to them, you feel like you're only talking to them and they only care about you and the world.
And when he told me the story,
pretty wild.
I was like a little kid. I was like, tell it again.
Right.
Then what happened?
Well, the funny part, there's another part is that she first offered him the Lombardi trophy, the Super Bowl trophy,
but he wouldn't
Travis's
hold it.
Trophy, but he wouldn't hold it because he's a Patriots fan.
The most ridiculous thing
and
I ever
felt
heard in my
that
life.
As a Chiefs, trophy that it would have been cursed for him.
Anyway, so who's hosting the Emmys?
Yeah.
Her wedding guest, Mariska Hargitay, was spotted waving to fans after her final curtain call for her Broadway debut in Every Brilliant Thing. Now the SVU star is getting another milestone. Dun dun. Yeah, you're looking at the first woman to host the Primetime Emmys in 15 years.
What?
She's having her moment. Mariska Hargitay is having a moment.
I feel like she's been having that moment for 30 years. She's always
been
well regarded.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, I feel like she's all over the news everywhere you go. All you see is her.
You're reading a lot of Taylor stuff.
I guess that's true. Yeah. Also trending, this has been a problem if you're booking airplane flights.
Imagine how you'd feel shelling out that extra cash for a window seat just to find yourself looking at a blank wall for the whole flight.
The issue is windowless seats. You pay for a window seat. But when you get on the plane, yeah, you're all the way to the outside, but yeah. But there's no actual window.
They moved all the aisles closer to each other, so they don't always line up with a window, right? Sometimes you've got a quarter of a window, sometimes you've got no window at all.
That's because some airlines describe every seat along the side of the plane as a window seat. But the lawsuits claim that other airlines, like American and Alaska, warn passengers or flag those seats about so-called windowless window seats.
I will say this. If I don't have a window,
I don't want to be in that seat.
No,
then now you're trapped.
Right.
Yeah.
Now it feels claustrophobic, and I would just sit in the aisle.
Two worst things with a seat. You show up, and first off, you think it's a window seat, and then there's no window.
Correct.
The person that's in the middle seat is larger, right? They're oversized and now you're squeezed. It's the other thing. And then the third thing is if you've got a chair that doesn't recline at all. And it doesn't matter even if you're a recliner or not. I don't want to have that argument. But if you have one that doesn't have the option of moving, you just feel more restrained.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And it's all part of what a lot of these airlines are called premiumization. I'm going to say that word wrong.
Premiumization.
They're putting their money where the premium seats are because they say they can only make money on the people flying first class versus the people that are flying economy.
Hmm.
They could be hot. They could be cold. Anna and Raven play Am I Close?
We were so close! So close.
You may think you know about a lot of common objects, historical moments, things in your backyard, but do you really? Producer Justin, what are we talking about today?
Well, my curiosity was piqued recently when we had a caller on the show say this.
I mean, we didn't even really wear our seatbelts.
Right. No. Nobody did.
Yeah. How did we
kind of jump in?
So weird.
And it got me thinking. I remember not wearing a seatbelt. In fact, once upon a time, it was our punishment in the car with my parents. All right, put your seatbelts on. That was the big thing. Mm-hmm. So I started wondering, when did they come about? Where did they come from? And actually, who needs them?
Oh, all right. So
I'm guessing that all of us need them.
That's interesting. Okay, so here's how it works. Raid and I have 30 seconds each on the clock, and we give our explanation on where we think seatbelts came from, and then we ask, are we close? This is actually interesting. I don't know if I have any idea. Raven, you go first. 30 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
Well, in the 70s, nobody cared whatsoever. We were all living free. It was the time of mustaches. Deodorant was optional. And they were smoking on airplanes left and right. In the 80s, all of a sudden, we had to pay attention. TWA had some problems, and we were like, seatbelts, they're important. So then we said, you know what? From airlines to cars, all of a sudden, we should care about short people. Babies need seatbelts. It would just make more sense if we did that. Oh, by the way, now that we're wearing seatbelts, maybe
time.
We should stop drinking while driving.
All right.
Good advice.
Ready? 30 seconds on the clock for me. I think it was Ford. Was it Ford Motor Company that was like, hey, all these people are flying through windshields. Maybe we should do something about it. And Ford was like, I got an idea. We've got all these people working to make these cars. Let's add some kind of strap so we could strap them in like a roller coaster. Roller coasters were actually the reasons why seatbelts were invented. Because roller coasters could go so fast and people weren't flying off the handle. And they were like, wait a minute. If we could strap in somebody to a roller coaster, we could probably strap somebody into a car. 30 seconds. Am I close?
It wasn't Ford. It was Volvo. But that wasn't too bad there.
Those Germans, huh?
The first, the Swedes, actually.
Wow.
The first known example of any sort of seatbelt was actually from an early aviator, English aviator.
I said it! A plane!
In the 1850s, he predated the Wright brothers, and he did a test flight, and he had to strap himself in. His flight crashed, but he survived.
Wow.
Then you flash forward all the way up to the late 50s, early 60s. A Swedish engineer invented the three-point seatbelt harness for Volvo, which is what we all use today, the across-the-shoulder strap there.
Like a roller coaster.
Felt like a real pain in the butt back then.
Volvo gave away this technology for free so that they could have more safety standards throughout vehicles worldwide. Because up to that point, manufacturers didn't really like the idea of having seatbelts because they thought it would give the impression that cars were not safe to drive
if
they had all these safety mechanisms inside.
Yeah, leave it to those Hungarians to figure that out. Real smart.
Swedes.
Whatever.
New York became the first state in the U.S. to mandate the use of seatbelts, which went into effect in 1985. So
I know it, the 80s!
That it started being regulated. By 94, all states had some form of seatbelt legislation. New Hampshire is still currently the only state that does not require adults to wear seatbelts.
Wow.
And then the fun stuff that I found, the back of the pickup truck thing. 21 states have no laws related to riding in the back of a pickup truck. Seatbelts, no seatbelts, sitting on top of a cooler, hanging off the edges.
That's a bad idea.
The other 29 states prohibit and have age restrictions, safety features, speed limits, and usages, whether you're parades, ranches, farming, but seatbelts still not required in the backs of pickup trucks.
That's like the best memories I have with my cousins growing up, is everybody piling in the back of my dad's pickup truck and basically holding on for our lives. It was kind of like a roller coaster, but there was certainly no seatbelts.
Just hit those speed bumps.
At least everybody survived. That's the main thing, right?
Well, not everybody.
Well, she sneaks around the world from Kia to Carolina. She'll take you for a ride on a slow bus in China. Tell me, where in the world is
Taylor and Travis? You ever watch Carmen Sandiego when you were growing up?
Never watched it.
Oh,
once.
I was obsessed with it. I wanted to be Carmen Sandiego so bad. Still do.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with Carmen Sandiego, she would go on these places all over the world, and you would have to try to figure out where she was. And there's a lot of that happening right now as everyone's trying to figure out, where's Taylor and Travis on their honeymoon?
Where do you suspect they are?
Well, if you believe the reports, they're not really doing a big honeymoon right now because of NFL commitments, and I guess their friends have other events that they have to attend.
Okay.
So I guess it's being pushed off. I think they do a mini moon. I think that they certainly have disappeared out of the limelight. There has been reports of them anywhere. The thing is that there's like that website that tracks her jet.
Yeah.
Can't they just see where she is? Unless she's not taking it and she's trying to be DL.
Right. They're smart enough, right? Like, they could not take it if they didn't want to or try something else. On the other hand, it's really, really, really nice jet. She owns it.
Yeah, it's hers.
She owns it. So why would you mess around and take somebody else's if you had your own?
And we're going to have a honeymoon expert coming up later today on the show. And we'll talk about the hottest places that people are honeymooning right now. But I think that she likes villas because it kind of plays into her whole aesthetic. So I think she'd be in a villa somewhere in Italy or maybe in France. Like, that would be my guess is where they are right now.
Warm weather, not cold weather.
No.
Is what you're making that assumption as well, too.
They're not in Antarctica. If I could bet a bazillion dollars, they're not in Antarctica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're also not in Cancun is what I'm guessing.
Probably
there, too.
Not.
Right.
But maybe one of the Caribbean islands, like the small little remote islands. It's easy to get away there and stay away from paparazzi.
I mean, especially if you can buy the island if you want to.
It's true.
Which is all things that are possible. Where'd you go on your honeymoon?
The Price is Right dictated my honeymoon, believe it or not, because they were
doing... You didn't win it.
No, they were doing a special thing where you could apply to be on the show. They were doing some kind of anniversary special, and I had applied as newlyweds that we were going to be able to go. It was right after our wedding.
Yeah.
And they accepted us. So we planned our entire honeymoon around going to LA to film The Price is Right.
Your husband, I mean, he's a patient man.
He loves me.
Very understanding guy.
He likes adventure. We like nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, we like silly things, and we like to do things that are different. So we went to a couple days to
Get on the show.
We went to Mexico.
Yeah.
We went to Mexico for like 3 days. Then we went to LA and we did Universal Studios. We went to go on the show. This is the saddest story of our life. We had our shirts made. We didn't know we were supposed to get there the night before and camp out. So we showed up when the ticket told us to get there.
Yeah, number like 1112 in line.
They didn't get us in. And then we actually ended up after that flying out to Bora Bora and doing Bora Bora, Moorea, and the Tahiti Islands, which
beautiful.
Was incredible. And now I think, what a wasted trip on a 24-year-old, because, man, I would do anything to do that trip now as a grown-up.
You'd experience it differently.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I remember being bored in Bora Bora, and I look back and I'm like, what an idiot. What idiot is bored in Bora Bora? Just lay there and enjoy the sun, you crazy person.
We did 2 weeks at Las Americas in Cancun in Mexico, and it was just fantastic.
It's but 2 weeks in the same
resort.
Place? Didn't you get bored?
No, not at all. We ventured all over the country. Like, we went everywhere. So we went to Tulum. We went to Puerto Vallarta. We went to, different, just attractions and all that stuff. And, like, for me, I'm always a 10-day vacation person anyways. If that's my preference, that or more, because I feel like you need the first 3 days just to decompress, you know what I mean? To forget where you are.
For the record, we get very little of that in radio.
That's true.
We're not allowed to do that.
They fight pretty hard. They fight us pretty hard on that nowadays.
Yeah. Where did you go on your honeymoon? Where did you go? And would you recommend it to others for somebody that's planning their honeymoon right now? 1-800-330-9999.
Yeah. Where in the world is
Taylor and Travis? Trying to figure out, where did Taylor and Travis go on their honeymoon? That's the big question now. What does the dress look like? and where are they right now celebrating?
You know, I guess I'm boring, but I figured my assumption would be that they would just run to Rhode Island for a few days to her house up there and then, you know, go somewhere after. I don't know.
Well,
maybe
that's
I'm
what
wrong.
The reports are saying. Some of the reports are saying that because of the NFL schedule and the commitments they have to family and friends events, that they're not doing a big trip right now. I don't believe that. I think Taylor is a traditionalist. I think that she wants to go away on her honeymoon. And even if it's just for a few days, a week, they're somewhere exotic right now.
I mean, again, when you have access to your own transportation, why not? Boats, yeah. Planes, they all just, you know, they fall at her will.
But for the normal people, where did you go on your honeymoon? And would you recommend it? It's such a big decision to make. 1-800-330-9999.
Hi, Charlene. Where'd you go on your honeymoon?
I went to Disney World. Would not recommend.
Well, no. Okay, tell us why you chose it in the first place. Because if you're a Disney adult, I understand.
Oh,
but why would a regular person do that?
It's supposed to be the happiest place on earth.
Mm-hmm. And it was.
It is, if you're not. No, because we were so tired, I don't even know if we consummated the marriage.
Oh, gosh.
Well, okay. That's nice details.
It's Mickey Mouse's fault. It's all
pretty,
Mickey's fault.
That happens
we
a
were
lot.
Exhausted.
On the night
yes.
of. Okay.
We were exhausted. It was just terrible. Would not recommend Disney World.
All right.
A nice Bora Bora vacation, Mexico, would be better. But thank you.
Vivica, where'd you go on your honeymoon?
We went to Yellowstone.
Ooh.
My husband and I are very outdoorsy. We love hike. We love to hunt. We love to bird watch. We went to Yellowstone for our honeymoon, and we had such a fun time.
That sounds like an incredible trip. I mean, it's on my list. I have not gone, and I've driven all over the place, all over the country, and I have not spent any time there because I knew that I could not do it in like a day or two.
Yeah,
you
got to
spend time there.
My cousin just got back from a national parks vacation, mm-hmm. and she's like me. She's not outdoorsy, not really into it. Her kids wanted to do it. She did it, put herself out there, and she says it was absolutely remarkable, like nothing she's ever seen before.
It's gorgeous. Yep. Yeah. I mean, yep. I've been to a lot of them. That's just like, that's one of the big, big ones. I've spent time at all of them, but I would all be lovely, right until you see like a pack of wolves
and
rip apart a doe.
Yeah.
Or something like that, or a grizzly bear devour a baby bison right in front of you, and you're not supposed to do anything. Right up until that moment, it would be wondrous and glorious. Or somebody falls into Old Faithful. I know you're not supposed to do that. Don't go falling into one of those thermal pools.
She
no
did
good.
Say there was a lot of cliffs. A lot of cliffs.
Yeah. I'm not good with heights. So.
Carrie, how about you? Where'd you go on your honeymoon? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Oh, definitely thumbs up. I would go again, Turks and Caicos, and it was amazing. Mm. We didn't do a resort. We always do a resort. He actually did an Airbnb, a private pool. It was really exclusive. The Airbnb host had a car as well as bikes. So we were so active, and it was amazing. Just even learning how to ride, drive on the other side of the car. It was just an amazing experience, and it was beautiful. Mm. The water, everything was gorgeous.
Is the water as blue as they say, as it appears in the photos? Because Turks is supposed to have some of the best
in the world. It's supposed to be the most gorgeous place. Yeah, was it?
It really, really is. You can see your feet. Like, you can just see through it. It's beautiful.
I'd like to go there
right
one
when
day.
The shark comes up and bites your toe off.
Maybe that's where Taylor is. Maybe Taylor and Travis right now are Turks and Caicos. They could probably hide on one of those islands, right? Somewhere
Grenada,
over there.
Anywhere out there. Those are far
anywhere.
Out. That's far out.
There. That's a good place.
Yeah.
Where in the world is Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce on their honeymoon? Taylor Bassani is a travel agent with Travelmation. And if you go to her Instagram at Taylor_Bassani, she mixes parenthood with travel. Taylor, do you know where Taylor is?
I actually don't. I wish I did.
If you don't have an unlimited budget and you are planning a honeymoon, where are the most common places couples are going right now?
So we are seeing a huge rise in Europe for honeymoons. A lot of it is going to depend on the style of travel you're looking for. Your honeymoon is not going to be one size fits all, because the honeymoon that I booked for someone yesterday may be nothing like what you are looking for.
Taylor, you know, for a long time, I was certainly intimidated to travel to Europe. What are the most daunting things when somebody's thinking about going to Europe for the first time?
So one of the hardest parts is logistics. You go to Europe and you want to visit multiple cities and towns, but it becomes overwhelming to try and plan that and plan it strategically so it makes sense and you're not backpedaling through your trip. Mm. That's where a travel advisor is great to have in your corner. Things I do for my clients, I arrange your hotel stays. I arrange your transfer from point A to B to C, just to kind of have everything laid out for them. This is where you need to be. someone will be there to get you, and just enjoy.
Taylor, I know that it's always been popular for people to go to Italy or to visit Greece or to go to Paris, but are there other European hotspots that have really kind of jumped out now that people are traveling to?
We still are seeing Greece and Italy as the most popular. The Amalfi Coast for a while was the hottest spot. We're now seeing people start traveling to an area called Puglia. It's kind of a hidden gem that's making its appearance now because of social media. There are multiple little sea towns over there that are beautiful, and you can explore all of them within a week, but you can hop very easily between them.
My dad is from Puglia, so we've spent some time there, and it's always been such a hidden gem. And, you know, we go to Monopoly there, and the water is more beautiful and clear than Bora Bora. And I always thought it was crazy that while everybody was going to the Amalfi, that they weren't going to the Heel.
Yeah.
And now I think everybody figured out. They're like, wait a minute. This has all the European appeal plus the absolutely gorgeous beaches, too.
I'm going to be real. Sometimes that scares me, right? Like, you feel like you found something that's hidden and you think that the masses will just show up and ruin it. That's what I get nervous of when my wife goes to tell somebody something cool that we found. I'm like, don't tell everybody.
Yes, I have a honeymoon note traveling in September going to Puglia, and they are doing Monopoly, they are doing Bari, they're going to Polignano Amore, and then they're actually going to take a two-day trip to Matera right outside of Puglia.
It's unbelievable. So it's like you're in the Christ movie. That it is like stepping back into
time. Wait a
minute.
Is that good
the
or
Passion
bad?
The Passion of the Christ. It's like nothing you had ever seen before. I have to send you a picture of it. It's wild. Taylor, people are constantly talking about the Maldives. Is there any way, as a regular person getting married or even with your family, that you could afford to go to the Maldives without spending a tremendous amount of money?
So there are ways. We do have some resorts over there that do price a little bit better, but it is going to be a higher priced trip overall. And a lot of times we can get you other places that are going to be just as beautiful.
Yeah.
For a fraction of the cost.
Everybody's got overwater bungalows now, right? Like, when I think of the Maldives, it's the first thing I see. And now I see them in a lot more places than they used to.
Taylor, if you could plan your dream wedding right now, cost was no issue, where in the world would you be going?
I would love to go to Greece with unlimited budget.
Mm. And do you think Taylor is there?
We can go find out.
I sound like that answer.
I think after Odyssey comes out, there's going to be even more people thinking like, yup, here we go. I'm headed that way.
Oh, Taylor Bassani. You can find her on Instagram at Taylor_Bassani. She's with Travel Nation. Thank you so much, Taylor, for taking the time. Yesterday was the first day in about a month that there wasn't a World Cup game. And it was weird at my house.
I was going to say, seeing how you were like, you just reminded me, you were like, Olay next. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, thinking to myself, wait a minute.
There's no game yesterday.
Don't say it out loud, but wasn't there no games yesterday?
Yeah. Today starts the big round, you know. So France is going to be taking on Morocco. But it was strange yesterday not to have a game. It's like, it's always playing in my house in the background and there's commentary coming. So it was odd, and it made me sad that this is going to be over soon. But
well, I mean, that's how you crown a champion, Anna.
Yeah,
it comes
true.
Down to the end.
So today is an interesting game, France versus Morocco. Now, there's a big reason for this. Do you believe the conspiracy theorists, or do you believe the betting websites? Because according to the conspiracy theorists,
every World Cup has official colors, and those colors just happen to correlate with the winner every single year.
This is like the same thing like the NFL. They always say the NFL has a thing with the winning thing. I don't understand it.
The NFL logo has like 8 colors in it, so I mean, it's debatable on all of that stuff here. Prove it to me.
This year's colors, green, blue, red, and then 2 shades of gray. My first thought, an underdog team, but Morocco.
Morocco is the underdog here. They are not favored to win. And you know who does not favor them to win? All the betting websites. So now remember, betting websites are not legal in every state. But for the ones they are,
one of the biggest gambling events ever as well, that Americans are going to bet more than $3 billion on the games through online sports betting sites. Another $2.5 million in bets are expected to be placed on prediction markets like Kalshi.
So now they're saying that France is going to win. So you know what do you think?
You know what's wild? When I log into Robinhood now, you can do the same thing.
You can bet
on speculation stuff like Kalshi.
It's interesting.
It's wild, right?
It's like a whole new world.
It's a whole collision of different universes.
So we'll see. We'll see today. Are the conspiracy theorists right? Or are all the betting websites
right? I mean, here's the thing. It's just like being a bookie. Either way, somebody gets to be right. So they'll be able to point to that information and be like, see? See, I told you.
The one thing all the international guests that we have here can agree on is that Walmart is nuts.
This place is actually mad. They have everything. They have clothes. They have cookers. It's like a storage store with every single thing in. Look, toys. Look.
All these videos have gone viral of people visiting Walmart and being completely shocked by how overwhelming it is. Like, I could buy salami and a gun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go to my Walmart where they don't stock the shelves.
One dude even got a Walmart tattoo. But Walmart has decided to capitalize on it.
Walmart is now offering VIP tours of its stores. The first tour is set to happen before the Norway-England quarterfinal in Miami, with another planned before the World Cup final in New Jersey. Fans will also get a Walmart passport and exclusive merch.
How much would you pay to go on a Walmart tour?
You couldn't pay me to be near the place while they were doing it.
I think it'd be fun.
No,
I think
thanks.
It'd be fun. I always wanted to go in the back. Don't you want to go in the back and see what it looks like?
I mean, I've worked in warehouses. No.
Oh.
I know exactly what it looks like back there.
I just wonder when they say, let me check in the back. Do they actually do anything or do they just stand at the door out of sight?
Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't.
Okay, yeah.
What couple?
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make an excuse. She can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Progressive Commercial Insurance. It can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options, an easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations. Stacy and Andrew. Stacy, let's start with you. What's going on?
So I'm having a little bit of a disagreement with my husband over our son. He's 17, and he's great. He's in high school right now. He's doing great. He believes that he should be getting a $30 allowance per day. He does all the chores around the house, the yard work. He helps with the younger kids and said that he should be getting $30 a day just so he can pay for gas and food and anything else, especially because things are so expensive. Right now, we're giving him $50 a week. I heard what he said, and I think I agree with him. I think that's fair for all of the work he's doing and for how expensive things are. I think that's fair.
How about get a job? Andrew, what's your side of this?
I mean, you kind of said it for me. Get a job, bro. He's not on our payroll, and I think he's asking for a lot. And I love you, honey, but you did embellish. Yes, he helps, but does he help like a full-time nanny would? I don't think so.
That's a lot of money. $30 a day?
$30 a day, but he watches the younger children, your younger children?
He would, as like an older sibling would, but, you know, we're not going on dates every night. It's not like he's on babysitting duty every day. So to me, he's doing what a normal older brother would do. And, you know, when I was the older brother, I got less than $50 a week of allowance. So it seems like maybe we can negotiate with him.
But
it seems like a lot.
What's the obvious question is, if he wants money and he needs money, why doesn't he get a job, like a real job outside the house?
So he's in sports right now. He is in tutoring right now, and he doesn't have any extra time to have a job. And it's his last year of high school, and I think he should be focusing on that and not a job.
Which I'm all here for. I support that we're setting him up for his future, but at the end of the day, it's not like we're not feeding him anything. It's not like we're not supporting him regularly anyway. To be asking for this much more money, it just seems like he's being a little greedy 17-year-old businessman.
$840 a month. You're paying your kid, who you're feeding, who you're paying for all the other things in their life already, who you're already giving $200 a month. He wants to bump that up to $840 a month.
Okay, think about it. Do you pay for his gas? Like, what does he need the money for? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I mean, I don't care. You either pay him or you don't pay him. I think that's pretty easy, right? Like, I mean, you're either paying your kid $810 a month to be your kid or you're not.
But if he's paying for his own gas and he's got to fill up his car and he doesn't have a job and then he has to go pick up lunch or whatever he's got to do. I mean, I could see where half of that goes to your gas tank right off the bat.
I'm sorry. Do you have lunch in your house? Probably, I'm guessing so, right? So if he wants to go pick up lunch, that's a luxury.
I have a couple questions for our audience today. One is, if you're giving your kids an allowance, how much? Is $30 a day reasonable? $200 a week? Is that a lot of money for a teenager? And if you are giving an allowance, what is it right now?
1-800-330-9999. Which side do you subscribe to? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
What's a good amount of an allowance to give your teenager? Stacy and Andrew are having a disagreement about this because their son, who's going into his senior year of high school, he would like $30 a day, $200 a week. He says that, you know, his mom doesn't want him to have a job, wants him to focus on getting into college, his athletics, doing well in school.
I didn't hear him begging to go out and get one either. I mean, he just wants to be able to have money to spend money.
Right, and he says, I help around the house. I do all the chores. I watch my younger siblings. Like, that's a reason enough. That's my job. You should be paying me this amount of money.
Yeah, Andrew says, pump the brakes, pal. We're already paying you $50 a week. You've got a car. Congratulations on that. And yeah, you help out around the house, but you're not doing all that much. You're not doing anything more than any other sibling should be doing for their siblings as well. It's not a big deal. Sorry, just can't do it.
What do you think? Do you give an allowance? Do you? Is that too much to ask? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Louise.
I'm on the father's side. No. 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 I don't know the family's financial situation. My mother had health issues. Couldn't work. I ran the house. My brother helped a lot. My brother went landscaping. My father, Pop, worked two jobs. We didn't get paid any extra.
Right.
However, because he's frugal, we didn't have college loans 10 years later. But no, 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 no. This kid wants money. You pick up a part-time job and give up the sports.
Did you ever have an allowance or provide an allowance to one of your kids?
My son never got an allowance.
No, never did.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. $200 a week. Is that too much to give your 17-year-old child as an allowance every single week? Stacy and Andrew have a son going into his senior year, and he's asked now to have $30 a day because that's the amount of money he needs for all his items. His mom doesn't want him to get a job, says he wants him to focus on schoolwork, and their son says, well, I watch the kids every day. I do all the chores around the house. Like, this is my job. You should be paying me more.
Andrew says, dude, you don't watch the kids every day. We're not going on date night every single night. You do the regular things that siblings do, all right? And you're already getting $50 a week, and you got a car. You know, feel good about those type of things. This is just crazy, setting us up to fail here. There's no way we're going to pay him this amount of money.
You think that's asking too much? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Big Bear.
My answer is no. Now you get nothing.
Yeah. I'm agonizing over spending $6 a day on coffee. $30 a day? $30 a day for allowance because you're my son?
Yeah, I'm thinking back when I was in school. If I would have ever said that to my mother, I probably wouldn't have any teeth.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Rachel, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I am on the side of the one who does not want to pay more allowance. Mm-hmm. I think don't be greedy. And you don't need to get paid more money when you are getting free rent and don't have to pay for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a job, so he has a car. They're also paying for his car and insurance, I'm guessing. Do you have any teenagers? Do you give them an allowance?
I don't have a teenager, but I had my teenage nephew staying with me, and we did not give them allowance.
Okay.
But if they need money, you give it to them, right? You give them whatever they need, or they support themselves.
Yeah, they have everything they need, but really that's about it.
Joe, what do you think about this? Whose side do you want today?
First of all, the kid needs money for gas. Who bought him the car?
Very good point.
Who's paying the car insurance?
Mm-hmm.
You know how much car insurance is on a 17-year-old kid?
A lot. It's a lot.
I actually do. Yes.
A lot. So
yeah.
It was almost 10 grand for my 17-year-old daughter for a year.
Wow. Doing the math. $840 a month, by the way, or it's $10,000.
Oh, you're not
going to
do
much.
Don't do the math. You're always wrong, and then I got to deal with all the emails.
Listen, it's $10,080 a year, right? So, I mean, you basically are hiring somebody to work at your small business.
You know, here's the bigger problem.
Have a great day.
I didn't want to say it to Stacy when I had her on before, but I never understood the parents that say, I don't want my kids to have a job because I want them to worry about their schoolwork and their athletics and the stuff at the school. To me, having a job is the most important thing you can do as a kid because it teaches real life responsibility.
verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Andrew, our audience agreed with you. Too much money. He's old enough. He's got to figure out how to make his own cash flow and balance all his athletics and education.
I am very grateful that the audience agrees. And at the end of the day, like, I'm not trying to shut my son down and be like, hey, we're not here to help. But, you know, he's asking for a little bit too much. And the people backed me. So thank you, audience.
You're building an adult here. You know, Stacey, I mean, I get it. Your son's got responsibilities, and he does. And some of those things you can help out on, no question. You're already giving him a pretty generous allowance of $50 a week. With certain events, there's definitely room for more reward. But this isn't a job. He's your son. You're preparing for him every day, and you're also preparing him to be an adult. So if you want something, you have to go out and earn it. That's at least what the voters thought.
Yeah, that is a really good point. If something is coming up, maybe we can ask him to trim the hedges or mow the lawn
to earn maybe a couple
hundred dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he's got something that he needs to pay for, then that's partially your responsibility, right? But if it's something that it's like a bonus, you got to earn your way.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCore@AnnOnRaven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Congratulations to Vanessa. She beat Raven yesterday, won the jackpot for $4,200. That means we reset today to $100. Alice, you ready to play today?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave.
You got it. Good luck, Alice. Here we go. $100.
All right. All right, Alice, a little pressure off today because the jackpot is back to 100, yeah. But I'd still love to give it to you. So Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you these five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You ready to play?
Ready.
Number one, Dolly Parton's musical will officially open on Broadway on her 81st birthday in January. What is the name of her charity that Taylor and Travis just donated $2 million to?
Imagination Library.
Number two, Sacha Baron Cohen is dusting off his Ali G for a new movie that he's secretly been filming. Ali G? Ali G. Sacha Baron Cohen is also known by another famous character that would say, very nice. Who is that?
Borat.
Number three, what New York Knicks superfan, recent Broadway star and Law and Order actress was named to host the Emmys this fall?
Mariska Hargitay.
Number four, Matt Damon told Amy Poehler on her podcast that he's recently started watching what reality show where four couples who are having relationship issues agree to test their commitment?
Love Island.
And number five, Jeopardy just announced they're hiring a clue writer, and it pays between $132,000 and $178,000 a year. What is the name of the round where contestants can wager their own money on a single clue?
Bonus round.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo!
3 out of 5 for Alice.
All right, not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
Number one, Dolly Parton's musical will officially open on Broadway on her 81st birthday in January. Mm-hmm. What is the name of her charity that Taylor and Travis just donated $2 million to?
Imagination Library.
Yep.
Totally free. You should sign your kid up for it.
Number two, Sacha Baron Cohen is dusting off his Ali G for a new movie that he's secretly been filming.
Heard about that.
Sacha Baron Cohen is also known by another famous character that would say, very nice. Who is that?
That's Borat.
I texted my daughter yesterday. I said, you ever see Borat? She's like, no, she's 17. I go, we're going to watch that. It's like one of those movies that's like, it's giggles, you know?
The Ali G was one of the weirdest things that was on HBO late night. Like, if you didn't know what it was and you just came across it, you were like, what is this? And then you were like, this dude can't be for real, right? And then you were like, is he for real?
Yep.
He's kind of for real.
Number three, one New York Knicks superfan, recent Broadway star and Law & Order actress was named to host the Emmys this fall.
That's Mariska Hargitay. You know what I mean.
Yep.
That one.
Number four, Matt Damon told Amy Poehler on her podcast that he's recently started what reality show where four couples who are having relationship issues agreed to test their commitment.
I'll just take a guess and say Love Island.
No, Temptation Island.
That would be my other guess.
Yes. Yeah, it's all islands. Everything happens on islands.
Yeah, I don't watch any of them. That's the thing. So
number five, Jeopardy just announced they're hiring a clue writer. It pays between $130,000 and $180,000 a year.
Let's go.
The writing team is tiny. It's only about 10 people, which makes it one of the rarest jobs in television. What is the name of the round where contestants can wager their own money on a single clue?
Final Jeopardy.
No, it's a Daily Double.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Okay.
All right, well, Alice. Alice. You guys tied at three today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
I'm Alice, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.
Will do.
$200 tomorrow, Anna.